Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Off the Air Radio Show, brought to you live every Friday night on the Vibe Radio Network from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. From the gun room in Speedway, Indiana, I am your host, Aldo Gonzalez, moderator of the modicum, interviewer of the intelligent, and guiler of my guests. This is the place where I talk about anything and everything that interests me and where my guests are mighty, brave, and full of all sorts of useful information that will not make any of us rich, but only provide some entertainment for your Friday nights. No story is off limits. No guest is too big or too small. We may use profanity, so if certain words offend you, here is my apology for that now. We will always attempt to be professional, but in the end, we just want to have fun, laugh, and enjoy each other's strange and curious stories. That being said, make sure you've already gone to the bathroom, that you've got your cup of coffee or cup of tea or soda nearby, that your dog is sleeping soundly at your feet, and that the cat has already been brought inside, because we will take no commercial breaks. It's just going to be me, you, and my guests for the next hour. Welcome, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to my little radio show here that I do every Friday night in the gun room in Speedway, Indiana. My friends and I often laugh about how competitive we are, but I laugh more. I have a very special, wonderful guest on the show tonight, the Motor City medium, Rebecca Smuck, psychic medium, Ouija board expert, investigator. But before we get to her, let me just say this, that tonight's show is brought to you by Clear Choice Restoration, your helping hand when it comes to hail, wind, and storm damage. And if you live in central Indiana, north central Indiana, south, well, fuck, if you live in Indiana, you just got smashed by a bunch of hail and wind. So here's what I'm asking. Most people don't know that they may indeed even have hail damage on their roof or gutters and siding. So with all these storms that just came through here in the last 3, 4, 5 hours, and believe me, I was driving through it, coming back from Lafayette to Indianapolis, and I on the north side of the road, it was all black, and on the right south side of the road, which was my right, it was all sunny, and I could not describe to you how terrifying that was, because I wasn't sure if I was going to get a sunburn or get the tornado that was in the cornfield next to me blow my truck over. So you've got damage, and I know you do. And with all these storms, Clear Choice Restoration, they're the people you need to call to get the damage fixed. So call Clear Choice Restoration for a free roof inspection and tell them that Al sent you, because if you don't say that Al sent you, I won't get paid, and I like money. I like money, but I love what money can't buy. Isn't that interesting? In Indiana, call 317-358-8630, 317-358-8630. Call and schedule your free inspection today. Today's one weird thing is brought, I can't talk. You would think that I had my tongue cut out instead of my finger cut off today, because I was in Lowe's parking lot. I know I'm being sidetracked, but that's okay. So I bought this wrench at Lowe's, and I was out at my brother's car, and he was on the phone talking to somebody. So I thought, I'm going to pull this thing apart. And so I got my razor blade knife out, and I was cutting those little tie things that they use to tie it down to the cardboard or whatever, and slip and right through my finger. And you should have seen the blood gushing. So my question is, how much blood on the ground is enough that you would probably need to let somebody know that there's like a lot of blood in the parking lot? Anyway, tonight's one weird thing is brought to you by two very haunted and special landmarks here in the Indianapolis area, the Hanna House right here on the south side of town, and the Rhodes Hotel just north in Atlanta, Indiana. I've been to both of them and have had some pretty interesting paranormal things happen to me there. And since I was all alone by myself at the Rhodes Hotel two Fridays ago, because all the investigators left early, leaving me there alone with the haunted hookers, I was kind of scared. So I kept doing Facebook live videos just to make myself feel as if somebody was there with me. And I thought they were pretty hilarious. So go to my my Facebook page, scroll down there, find those videos, give me some likes and tell me how funny I am. I highly recommend that you check both these places out. They were a lot of fun. The Rhodes Hotel is so beautiful. It's just a great building. If nothing else, go check it out. It used to be a brothel. It was a speakeasy. It was acted as a hotel. I don't know. There's one room called the preacher room. I guess this dude was a preacher and he killed himself in there. Why he was hanging out at a brothel, I don't know. I don't judge. But both of these places can be found on Facebook. The Hannah House is one of the most beautiful houses in all of Indiana. I believe it's just gorgeous. Got like hidden staircases that the servants used to use because, you know, back then the servants couldn't be seen. They just had to go do their work and just all kinds of fun stuff. I loved them both. So go ahead, check them out on Facebook. You can get a hold of them. You can schedule your event there. People hold graduation parties at the Hannah House, weddings at the Hannah House. I mean, if you're into the paranormal and you like ghosts and you got a guy or you got a girl and you think, hey, let's hook up, you know, that'd be the place to, you know, get married. So I would highly recommend it. I love living in Indianapolis. I grew up just south of here in Mooresville, where my brothers and I would search all the fields by my grandma's house and find arrowheads and all kinds of Indian artifacts like pottery shards and all kinds of shit. It was just a lot of fun growing up around here. But Indianapolis has some awesome and interesting things going on here. Here are some fun facts about living in Indianapolis. These are true. There is a skull at the Indy Children's Museum that's from a dragon-esque kind of dinosaur. It's newly discovered, and they actually gave it like a Harry Potter name. It's called Dracorix hogwartsia. No joke. We got the skull right here in Indianapolis. If you are under the age of 14, you probably shouldn't be listening to my radio show because we say the F word a lot and shit and damn and hooker. You know, those are things that 14-year-olds shouldn't be involved in. But if you're under the age of 14, you can be fined $3 per swear word in Indianapolis with a maximum fine of $10 a day if you are a curse word user. No joke, that's a law. So I highly recommend you, when you're walking down to the Children's Museum to see the dinosaur, the dragon dinosaur head, don't be saying, fuck mom, fuck mom. So residents of Indianapolis may not eat their own severed limbs on Friday. It's a law. No joke. Look it up. I am very, very excited to have Rebecca Smuck with me tonight, of whom she is very smart, very intuitive, fun to talk with, and she's no slacker when it comes to paranormal, ghosts, demons, spooks, all those things. She's just a normal person with a very powerful, abnormal gift. And sometimes whenever we start to talk with people about our interests in ghosts and hauntings and UFOs and Bigfoots, like I often talk to people, because I love talking about that shit. It's fun. Sometimes we can easily get painted into a corner and people believe that that's all we do or that's all we talk about. And I am not an investigator. I've never seen a Bigfoot, even though I've seen some UFOs, not an alien, but some UFOs. But that doesn't mean that's all I talk about. I'm simply an unwilling paranormal participant. I wrote a book. I was on TV. I was on a TV show about my experiences, but that does not make me a person who lives and breathes all these things that go bump in the night. And I think it's the same with Rebecca too. You know, she's a highly intuitive psychic medium, but you know, she's just normal as well. So Rebecca, thank you so much for coming on my show tonight. I thought I was going to have a big, long Aldo infomercial because my guest that was scheduled for the night couldn't make it. So you jumped in and you were able to help me out. So thank you so much, Rebecca. Thank you for being here.
No, you're very welcome, Aldo. Anytime.
Good. You know, just tell everybody about yourself. You know, you're a psychic, you're a medium. I know very little about those things. I don't fully understand what it all means. Maybe you can explain that to us. You know, tell us about your paranormal team because you go and investigate places, you know. How did you get the name, the Motor City Medium? I love it. That's such an awesome fucking name. It's awesome. That's great. You know, just tell me everything that just makes up who you are.
Sure, Aldo. Well, I'll start with a name, Motor City Medium. I am from the Detroit area, and someone had jokingly told me, oh, you're the Motor City Medium, and that was 6 years ago, and it just kind of stuck, and I've kind of taken that name on as mine, and ever since then, that's what I've gone by. That's what people know me by. That's what people run from when they know I'm coming. The Motor City Medium, they know to run because right. I'm usually trouble, as you know. And
well, you know everything about it when you get close to them.
That's right. As far as my paranormal team, I work with Glass Paranormal, which is a team based out of Dearborn, Michigan. We've been investigating for about 3 years. We have done mostly locations here locally. We are looking at expanding into Ohio, Indiana, also doing some out-of-state investigations when funding becomes available. Some of the locations we have done are the Edson battleship, for lack of a better word. The guys will probably kill me for calling it that, but it's the Edson. It's located up north from me, and it's one of the most haunted places I have ever been. It was on an episode of Tennessee Wraith Chasers last year. They went aboard the Edson and did an investigation. I have gotten some really good EVPs from there. Actually, one of my favorites was I was walking into an area where a gentleman died of a heart attack. And I walked into the room, and I felt him. And I said into the recorder that I had, I feel a strong male presence. Then we were doing playback a couple of days later, and we hear, hello, in a male voice, clear as day. You know, he knew that I could hear him, and it was clear as day, class A EVP. I wish I could play it for you, but it's one of the best ones I've ever gotten. Another EVP that we got was we did the USS Silversides, which is another battleship submarine. I think that was a submarine, yeah. And we spent the night on it and slept on it, which was interesting. I had some really weird dreams while I was on there. I kept in my sleep being in one of the bunks, and I kept feeling like someone was coming and looking at me and standing over me. So I opened my eyes, and of course there'd be nobody there, but this happened like every 15, 20 minutes. I'd feel someone, you know, when you know someone's leaning over you when you're sleeping,
mm-hmm.
and getting their face really close to your face. I kept feeling that, and I opened my eyes, and I finally said, guys, okay. I know this is interesting, having a woman sleeping on the ship, but you're not going to let me sleep. You know, clearly there's a girl in here, you know.
Right.
This was, you know, I don't know if there's any girls that served, you know, women that served on the ship. I'm assuming not, considering,
I don't
you know,
think women can serve on submarines.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think they can now, but back then, I don't know if they could.
Yeah, well, definitely not back then. I still don't think they can. I think there's still some weird thing that they keep them off submarines for whatever reason. I think it would be badass to have an all-woman's submarine, an all-woman's battleship. I think that would be badass. I mean, they can absolutely do
badass.
The job that any man can do. I mean, I believe in all that. I mean, there's no man or woman naval officer or seaman or whatever that couldn't do those jobs. So I'm going to put them all on there. I know it. Pun intended. As I was saying, I'm like giggling to myself in my head because that's how immature I am.
Me too.
Hey, so you're a,
me too.
Yeah, so you're a psychic medium, and we're going to invite some people. If you want to call into the show tonight, and you know, Rebecca would absolutely, you know, talk with you, you know, as a medium, as a psychic, you know, maybe she can give you some good information or whatever. Absolutely, call us up. 516-387-1922 is the number. 516-387-1922. We may not get to you right away because I've got a ton of questions I want to ask Rebecca. But, you know, later on in the show, maybe about 20 minutes till 11 or something like. We'll see how it goes. So if I get like 5, 6, 7 callers, you know, then we'll get to them right away. But most of the time they trickle in one at a time. But, you know, anybody's free to call in. So you're a psychic medium. What is a psychic medium? Is that like a one thing or is that two separate abilities that you have?
Well, there's a saying that says you can be psychic without being a medium, but you can't be a medium without being psychic.
Oh, really?
Basically what a psychic is someone that is connected to the other side. They're connected to, you know, other planes of existence. Some psychics can predict future events. They can tell someone if they're sick, if they're, you know, going to pass away, which we don't often share. I mean, this is something we run up to somebody and say, hey, you're going to die tomorrow, dude. You know, get your affairs in order. But there are psychics that can do that. A medium speaks to the dead. They're connected to the dead. They don't necessarily have the gifts of a psychic. They can't necessarily feel someone's pain, tell where, you know, what their future is going to be. They can't, they don't have, you know, cognitive dreams where they view future events. Mediums usually just speak with the dead and that's it.
Mm-hmm. So like the guy on The Sixth Sense, that little boy on The Sixth Sense, he was a medium because he spoke to the dead.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, he wasn't a psychic at all.
No, not at all. He just spoke to the dead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that makes sense to me. That clears some things up. I got to know, though, now, in your past of talking with people, helping them out, you know, giving them future, or giving them advice, or talking with the dead relatives or whatever, I've got to know that there has been some crazy thing that's happened to you during a reading with somebody. You got a story? Tell me a crazy story about reading somebody.
I have a few crazy stories. There was one gentleman that I'm pretty close to, actually. He's a really good friend of mine, and he didn't believe in any of this. Absolute 100% skeptic. Was like, none of this is real. And he was going to try and trick me and, you know, prove me wrong. And he had a friend that died probably, I think, 15 years ago of a drug overdose. And he brought me his coat, some of his other personal belongings, and he placed the stuff in my lap, and he says, well, tell me everything about him. I'm not going to tell you anything about him. You tell me about him. Mm. And, you know, I started telling him, you know, how he died, where he was found, what happened to him. And he's like, yep, you're done. You know, I said he died of a drug overdose. He said to tell his mom he's sorry, you know, certain things like that. And then I said, he's talking about the party you had when you were younger. And, you know, because he asked me for something, to tell him something that no one absolutely could know but him and the deceased.
Right.
And I said, he's telling me about the big-breasted blonde.
Oh, Lord.
And he goes, oh,
here we go.
My God. He's like, no one could know. I said, yeah, he's telling me about the bonfire and the big-breasted blonde you were talking to. And he said, oh, my God, no one would know that. No one would know that. He said, you completely blew my mind because that was just something him and I knew and no one else knew. And, you know, he's like, he had to walk outside and smoke a cigarette and he was shaking. And it was cool because, you know, there was no way in a million years I could have guessed that.
Right.
And he has been a huge believer in the paranormal sense, in mediums for something he never believed in. There was another time that I work with a lot of the dark stuff. I help people evacuate nasty, evil entities from their homes.
Right.
And I had one woman that I was helping, and she was in her bathroom, and I was telling her, you know, that I said, you know, that the entity is right in there with you. And she's talking to me on the phone. All of a sudden, we both hear him say a very, very bad word into the phone. clear as day, and she's like, was that him? And I'm like, yep. And then he started to speak in Latin backwards for about 3 minutes into the phone.
No way.
Yep. Just backwards Latin. And, you know, I'm like, I don't even know what that is. I had to go look it up later. He was pissed because he considered her his property. And he wasn't about to let her go. And you know, I did this all over the phone because she needed immediate help. She was right. Getting up in the middle of the night, filling up a bathtub with water and putting her head underwater.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. And
how
like,
can
I'm
you
drown.
Sleep after that?
I just go to sleep. I don't.
You're,
it doesn't faze me. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm more afraid of the living than I am the dead. There's nothing that I'm afraid of. I mean, they can throw things at me. Yep. I've had things thrown at my head. I've been scratched. I've been bitten. And it doesn't faze me. I don't know why. I'm not afraid of it. I'm just not.
Yeah, you've told me that before, and it's just so hard to wrap my mind around that you're not afraid of anything. I think one time when we were talking a couple of months ago, you were in your basement sitting on your couch in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what? What is wrong with you, girl? Come on, turn on some lights. I mean, with everything that you do as a psychic medium and all the clearing out evil spirits out of people and preventing people from drowning themselves in bathtubs, I'd be so freaking scared everywhere I'd went.
Nope. I'm honestly not afraid. I have a reputation with the spirit community that, you know, if I go into an investigation and they want to get good EVPs, I have to leave the room. Because a lot of stuff won't talk when I'm in there because they're intimidated.
Mm.
They communicate. I have to leave so they can get EVPs because they'll just go quiet. They're like, nope, Rebecca's here. We're not talking.
Wow. Hey, do you ever just fuck with people and say, dear Lord, your grandma's been watching you while you're doing in the bedroom at night and she's just not happy?
I have done that.
You have?
I've told people, you know, You know when you're getting on, your brother is sitting in the chair laughing at everything that you're doing, and he just thinks your penis is small.
God, that is crazy.
Yeah,
so
well,
you
people,
and I,
you know, sometimes people get too serious with it, and you know, you have to lighten the mood a little bit by teasing them.
Yeah,
I mean,
don't
I wouldn't
believe
tease anybody
me.
That's obviously in danger, but you know,
I know. I know that there's just too much. Too many people that are, I don't know what the deal, is it that they're just, they're too into themselves or something? I know I put a post on Facebook a week ago or so, I lost my lighter. I couldn't find my lighter. And I had this simple post.
I told you where it was.
Yeah. And I said to all the my psychic friends out there, I've lost my lighter. Where is it? And you wouldn't believe, well, you believe because you read some of this stuff. To my listeners mm-hmm. out there, I'm saying you would not believe how many people got mad at me for that and thought I was like poking fun. But like, people just need to just chill out a little bit.
Yeah.
How'd you get started?
I didn't tell you what happened to your toothbrush, by the way, did I?
No, you didn't. That was going to be my next question that I was going to post. I ended up not doing it. My thought process was I may not want to know what's going on with my toothbrush when I'm not around. So I didn't ask. I said that to that one guy who was like all freaked out. He thought that, you know, all psychics. And I told him, I said, what, are all psychics out saving the world today? I mean, is there burning buildings in every city and hundreds of psychics are out there saving all the children from being burned to death? Or is there nobody that can find my lighter, seriously?
That's right.
So, how'd you become a psychic? When did you know that you first had that ability? And, you know, when did you find out that you had some interesting paranormal powers?
Actually, paranormal powers, I like that. I'm a superhero. Actually, it all started when I was 3. I went to a picnic with my family. And we were by a river. I don't remember exactly what river, but for some reason, being this 3-year-old child, I walked out into the river and just kind of stood there under the water. And I remember looking up and the water being like a yellowy color. And I was drowning. I don't remember it being a bad thing. And I looked up and Mickey Mouse was there and he was holding his hand out. And I took his hand, and, you know, he took me up in the clouds, and he told me, I don't know why it was Mickey Mouse. I mean, maybe that's what they thought I would be most accepting of. But,
right.
You know, I went up in the clouds, and they told me, you know, you've got special things to do. You can't stay. And I remember, the next thing I remember is waking up in the grass, and someone had given me mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and revived me. And after that experience, I started seeing things. You know, I was probably 4 the first time I saw something solid. I mean, I see entities as solid beings. I don't see them as floaty. I don't see them as, you know, translucent. I see them as solid as you standing there. To me, that's how they look.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember looking down at the end of my bed, and there's these eyes, just these really bright yellow eyes, peeking up over the edge of my bed. And I'm like, oh, is that one of my stuffed animals? What is that? You know, because nothing should be standing in my room at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then it slowly kind of lifted its head up, and I saw that it had a smile that went from ear to ear, and it had all these, like, really pointy teeth, like what I would call shark teeth, because they were all layered in its mouth. And it had ears like a bunny rabbit.
Yeah,
and ears like a bunny rabbit. But it wasn't a bunny rabbit. It was like leathery, like alligator skin.
What was it?
And I don't know. And it kind of stood there for, yeah. It was probably 4'1", because it was just resting its hands on the end of my bed, resting its chin on the end of the bed with its hands on the bed and looking at me. And I remember I covered my head up. Yeah. And I said, if I'm under my covers, you can't touch me. And I stayed under there all night. And, you know, I don't know how long it stayed there, but it didn't mess with me. And, you know, it just kind of escalated from there. There was nights I'd wake up and I'd have a person looking in the face, floating over my head. And, you know, I would say, you can't be here. I have to sleep, you know. And, you know, I had another time where I was laying in bed. You know, this was usually between midnight and 3 in the morning when these things would happen. And this white, pure white, bright light being walked through my bedroom wall from the outside, you know, from the outside wall, through my room, out my bedroom door, through my brother's room, and out the other door. And I remember getting up and looking out my window and wondering where it came from. And, you know, I went to my mom. I'm like, you know, this white thing just walked through my room. And she's like, no, you're dreaming. And there was another time where I woke up and there was probably 15 heads of people's faces
what?
Floating over my head. Yeah, they were just like floating in a circle. And I was just watching them. And, you know, I'm like, I need to sleep. So I had a rule that if I put my covers over my head, that meant they couldn't talk to me. Because they talked to me. You know, that sometimes I'd wake up and there'd be a light out my door of the dead that just wanted to talk to me.
You
and
are
I was
kidding
a little kid.
Me.
No, I mean,
this
I could see them standing all the
me.
Way.
I'm 48 years old, sitting in a basement listening to this story, and I've got goosebumps all over my body. I'm not going to sleep tonight. I had some crazy shit happen to me. I had some crazy shit happen to my haunted house, but I never had no little Cheshire cat with pointy teeth thing staring at me from the foot of my bed. That's terrifying.
It was terrifying.
I want to talk about that thing. What was it? It wasn't a – was it a entity from another realm? It wasn't an alien. It wasn't a person. It was like 4 foot.
It definitely was not a person. I mean,
well,
this thing had bunny ears. But they weren't bunny ears that stood up. They were bunny ears that hung down. And, you know, you see like a flop-eared rabbit kind of thing.
Do you think it was an entity or a spirit that's non-human that just took that form?
I'm not sure. I just know I wasn't afraid of it. I just knew I didn't want it there. I got angry and I'm like, you can't be here. You know, in my little 3-year-old mind, it was like, this is my room, dude. You have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I don't know, you know, I've had people tell me, oh, that sounds like a demon, you know, but why would a demon be after a 3-year-old? Other than, you know, it saw my light and decided, hey, you know, maybe this is, she's pure, she's, you know, got this white light around her, maybe I can exploit that some way. And, you know, I wonder to this day sometimes if it's still around me.
Well, I just want to say this is coming from my uneducated paranormal mind. I mean, I've got enough information from the paranormal that can probably fill a thimble. That's how much I've done in it, other than the experiences I've had. But I just wonder if that was it. Well, one, it doesn't have to be evil just because it has sharp teeth and it looks weird. I mean, it could just, that's
right.
Just the way it looks, right? So it could be nice,
right.
But it just has sharp teeth. But
right.
I wonder if it was an entity that was non-human that took that form. See, I've got this theory. I believe that there are things out there that are non-human that
absolutely.
Can get into our minds, glean information about us from our minds. They have that ability, and then they can take on that form. So that's why you maybe saw Mickey Mouse, because in your 3-year-old mind, Mickey Mouse could have been a prominent figure in your brain. And so they got in there, they saw it was Mickey Mouse, they took the form of Mickey Mouse, something comforting to you. Or, you know,
exactly.
that seems kind of angelic. That may not be exactly, you know, what I'm thinking of, but this thing at the foot of your bed could have been the same kind of an entity, but it got into your brain and it jumbled a bunch of information that it got from you out of your brain and formed this Cheshire cat grin, sharp teeth with bunny ears. It's like it's got a bunch of different
with
things
alligator
going
skin. Yeah.
With alligator skin. So it had no idea what it was forming. It just, that's what it grabbed. That makes
right.
sense to me now that I'm talking about it, because it had no idea what an alligator was or bunny ears. It just, boom, pulled them out of your brain and formed this thing that maybe it thought you could relate to somehow.
Right, which I didn't at all.
Yeah, right. Who could, right? That's creepy.
Right.
That's scary.
It is. And I had another experience. This was, I was 9 and I was sleeping, sound asleep, and this guy strolls in and this doctor's coat into my room. You know, he had a stethoscope around his neck. He had some little thing behind him. It wasn't a human. It was, you know, bent over. It had like a hunchback. You know, one arm was longer than the other. And he said, I'm going to take you to an exam room. And I'm like, well, I don't want to do that.
Hold on, he said to you, he's going to take you.
Yeah, he said he's going to take me to an exam room. And I'm like, I don't really want to do that. I mean, talking to this in my sleep. I'm assuming I was sleeping. And, you know, he picks me up and he's carrying me. I mean, I felt my body lift up. I felt him carrying me. And, you know, he's talking to me the whole time. And I finally reached a point where, like, I'm not doing this. You have to leave me alone. I woke up in my family's basement on the couch.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I was freaked out because I'm like, how in the world did I get down here? But
that
he carried
like
me down production. The stairs. This guy didn't look like an alien. He had like steampunk glasses on and a long white coat and a stethoscope around his neck. And I knew he wasn't a good thing. I just, you
oh,
know,
really?
You just get a feeling of something bad and rotten on the inside, and I was like, this is not going to be good. He's going to hurt me. That's, you know, that's what I thought. You know, he's going to hurt me. That's, yeah. And I finally just said, you can't do this to me. You have to leave me alone. And he said, okay. And then he laid me down on the couch in the basement, and I woke up on the couch in the basement.
I got a question now. That raises another question that I've always had, and it's going to make sense with this conversation, because you told him no, and he stopped.
Yes.
You have the ability, or I don't know if it's that you have the ability or we as humans have the ability. Because I often hear in the paranormal world that you can take control of your house. And I've heard that when I was living in my house. You got to take control of it, you know, tell them that they're not wanted here or whatever. But I, in my mind, I kept thinking, well, who am I to tell them anything? They're more powerful than me. They're smarter than me. They've got more abilities than I do. Who am I to say you got to leave and then they have to leave? But you know what? I often wonder now, I wonder if humanity, we as humans with our souls, our spirits, actually have something that is more powerful than whatever's on the other side. Because you hear that a lot. There you are as a, I don't know how old you were when that happened. You were young, right? Yeah, so you were 9 years old. A 9 year old girl told this thing that was evil, that was going to do something to you, that you he couldn't, and he gave up and put you down on the couch. Almost as if you've got more power than they do. And I don't like to bring a lot of religion into the paranormal. I think they kind of go hand in hand. I really do. But people get freaked out. Whenever you start talking religion and paranormal, people get freaked out. So I try to stay away from it so much. However, I'm pretty knowledgeable on the Bible. And I know that there's a verse in the Bible that says, even angels long to be human. It's as if an angel, take an angel who's so much, who's got so much power, strength, power, whatever. It's, you know, they're big, massive, monstrous creatures that can. I mean, they're fighting in the universe with the with devils and demons or whatever.
Right, they're warriors. A good portion of them.
Yeah, and they long to be like me. That's weird to me.
There's a good reason for that.
But it makes sense that we have something that they don't. What's your take on that?
Well, the way it was explained to me, you know, I have had an extraordinary life in the paranormal. You know, a lot of it I kept to myself, but I had an opportunity to speak with an exorcist, and we got into religion. I actually went to an exorcism and watched it. I can't talk about it. I was told I'm not allowed to talk about it. But I had a chance to speak with this priest, and he said, angels are jealous of humanity. And I'm like, well, why? I said, they're angels. You know, why would they be jealous? He said, because they were God's first creation.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, they felt like he wasn't happy with them, that they weren't enough, so he made us. And he put all of his into watching over us and taking care of us, and they're jealous.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They're jealous
of
our humanity.
That.
They're jealous that we took his favor, is what he explained to me. You know, that's why they long to be human, is because they were his first creation, and they somehow feel like they disappointed him because he had to create humanity for some reason. Like he wasn't pleased enough with them.
Yeah, I grew
up
a very.
That's the way he explained it to me.
Yeah, it makes sense. I like that. That makes sense. It helps me understand that a little bit more. And you know, I grew up as a very religious kid. I went to church every week and was in all sorts of Bible studies, Bible quizzing. There was a point in my life where I can quote the book of Acts backwards from the last verse to the first verse. I can't do it now, believe me. But you know, I have a degree in pastoral ministries, but. It really wasn't until I had my own experiences, you know, in my terrifying haunted house that my relationship with God became a little more stable and foundational. I think I shed off a lot of religious baggage, and now it's just me and God. There's like no middleman anymore. Why do you believe that in most cases Christians and the very religious people have a hard time believing in the spirit realm, like ghosts, but they'll believe in it with angels and demons, but they have a very hard time believing it in like with ghosts and spirits and non-human entities and that Cheshire cat with the pointed teeth that's your end of their bed. Those things happen. Those are real.
Right.
Those. I mean, I cannot express to you how terrified I was of the shit that was going on in my haunted house. And prior to my house, I was very, you know, I was still very religious. And then all of a sudden I lived in this haunted house for 7 years. And I can't, there was so much all going on. But then you talk to Christian, you know, my Christian friends or my pastor buddies or whatever, they all, you know, want to shun me. And, you know, now how dare you write a book about ghosts, you know, and that type of stuff. What is up with that? Give me the answer to that, because
I have the answer to that. What people forget is that God created us with free will. Free will does not end when you die. If you want to come back to Earth and visit, you have free will. Your spirit has, your soul has free will. It retains that. You don't go to heaven and you're trapped there for eternity. Mm-hmm. You know, you still have free will. You are still you. And if you want to come here and visit your loved ones and talk to them, you have every right to do that. Or mm-hmm. you cannot do that. You know, you retain your free will. Yeah. And, you know, and people forget that. People think, well, you go to heaven and you get locked in and you never leave, or you never want to leave. Why would you want to leave? Well, because you have free will. And, you know, it's like you go to your favorite place in the whole world, okay? You go to your favorite beach spot. You sit there for long enough, you're going to go, I just don't want to be here anymore. I'm bored with this. You know, I've seen it. It's glorious.
I want the beach on the other side of that rock over there. Right. I got it.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, we want to explore. We want to explore the universe. We're free of a physical body for that period of time until we decide to come back and do it again. But, you know, we have the opportunity as spirit to go anywhere we like in the universe. And, you know, it's vain of us to think that we are the only universe there is, that we are the only dimension there is. That's awful vain thinking.
Mm-hmm.
There are hundreds upon hundreds of different alternate realities, alternate universes, different dimensions. And, you know, the people used to say that heaven is up and, you know, above us. But the way I look at it is everything is lateral. And it's like walls in between each one, like different rooms. But, you mm-hmm. know, certain beings have figured out how to push through that wall and get
right.
it, like shadow people, for instance. You know, the way that I look at shadow people, and I have a different take on shadow people, I don't think that's really what they look like. I think that's projection of themselves, like a hologram.
Mm-hmm.
They're projecting their energy, but not their physical being, through this barrier. And all we're seeing
right.
is their shadow. We're not seeing them. We're
right.
just seeing the outline of them.
Yeah, right.
And I think they're just curious about us. I have never heard personally of the story of a shadow person hurting anyone. People are just afraid of them because they're kind of creepy. I mean, they don't. We are very into having facial features. We connect mm-hmm. with other beings that have eyes, noses, mouths, things that look like us, and they don't look like us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they're like those black cardboard things people put in their yards. You know, it's just the outline of something. And our brain that's in our physical body has a really hard time getting around the fact that this thing has no hand, no eyes, no fingers, no toes. It's just a black solid mass. And so we're obviously naturally afraid of something that we don't understand.
Yeah, right. That's a really good explanation. I appreciate that, because I've seen shadow people. And the thing was,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I would see them, it would make me, it would scare me, it would startle me. And honestly, it was for the very reasons you just said. It was almost like a person, but not like a person, and that's really fucking creepy. You know what I'm saying? So those are the reasons,
right.
And it startles you because you're not expecting to see it, and all of a sudden, fuck, there it is. You know? So yeah,
uh-huh.
That's a good explanation. This is a good segue into Ouija boards too, and since you're a Ouija board expert, I want to talk about this often misunderstood communication device.
Right.
What exactly?
And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, what exactly is a Ouija board? From where does it originate, and how does it work?
Well, people think that Ouija boards were created by Hasbro as a game. Not true. Ouija boards have been around for centuries. I mean, there's historical documentation of Ouija boards being used back even, you know, in the time of Christ, you know, as a form of, at first they were kind of like a religious kind of a communication device that people thought they were communicating, you know, to God using this device. It's basically a means of opening a portal to other universes, other dimensions. It is no more dangerous than an EVP recorder.
Right. I'm so glad you said that, because that's exactly how I feel.
It's no more dangerous. Anything that you use to communicate with beings from other dimensions, the dead, can get you in trouble if you don't know what you're doing. You know,
right.
I've had people that have done, you know, that they get the phone apps and they sit in their house and they call this stuff in, you know, on their phone, on their cell phone. Mm-hmm. They call this stuff in and talk to it, and then they make a call to a paranormal team. I'm haunted. Well, yeah, you called it. You invited it. What did you think was going to happen? You know,
right,
you open up
right.
a doorway and you don't know how to close it. It's the same thing with people who use a Ouija board that don't know what they're doing. There is a ritual to using a Ouija board that most people don't understand, and they just go at it. There's protocols. There are things that you need to do. There are, you know, prayers you have to say. There's a closing ceremony. There's an opening ceremony. There's an offering to the spirits. I mean, a lot of people just pull this board out and say, hey, is there any dead guy who want to talk to me? Well, what you're doing, when you call the dead, you have to remember they all hear you. Not just Grandma Jones, everything hears you.
Yeah.
And people don't get that. I mean, you are calling everything in. You know, you're calling everybody's relatives, everything on the other side. When you open that door and you open yourself up to that, everything hears you. And I can't tell people enough, you know, you're not just contacting Grandma Jane. It might come through as Grandma Jane, but it's not necessarily Grandma Jane. It could be anything.
Right.
It knows what you want. It knows what you want. It knows who you want to talk to. So, of course, that's what it's going to pretend to be, because it wants to be near us, so they like our light. The dead don't want to be dead. They want to be alive.
Yeah.
A lot of
I want to tell you about a dream I had. I wrote about it in my book, but it very, very, it goes along very well with what you just said. I had a dream that my grandmother, she came to me in a dream. We were sitting in a library, and I was sitting with her in two fluffy chairs in the middle of the library, kind of in a sunken floor.
Mm-hmm.
But up on a couple steps, there was a table, and there was my mother, and there was my aunt, and they were playing cards. Now, it was just my grandmother that was talking to me, and she was, you know, we like to come visit you, we like to come see you, but I want to warn you about opening doors, is what she said. And she said, you know, every time we come to see you, that door is open and anything can come through too. And as she was saying that, I saw what looked like a homeless man kind of wandering, staggering to the front door of this library. And she noticed it too. And she goes, oh, see, we got to go. And she closed the dream and I woke up right away.
Mm-hmm.
So she was kind of saying kind of what you were saying too. You're opening yourself, not just to my grandmother, other things are going to wander through as well. The first thing, since you're a psychic medium, first, I often wondered if that was a legitimate, actual visitation from my grandmother through a dream,
yes.
or if it was just my brain kind of putting things together.
That was your grandmother.
Yeah.
The spirit can use dream. When we're in a dream state, we're basically not connected to our physical body anymore. That's what astral planing is. I mean, we can physically leave our body and come back to it. And, you know, it's easier for them to communicate us in a dream state because we're not concentrating on our physical body. We're not concentrating on our mortgage. We're not concentrating on getting to work on time. We're not worrying about if we have gas in our car. We're completely unconscious. We're completely open to receiving. So it's very easy for them to come and talk to us. So absolutely, that was your grandmother. And you know, and she was coming to tell you, you know, Aldo, you're messing where you shouldn't be messing. She's obviously worried about you.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's just being a grandma. She's, you know, just being concerned for her grandson. You know, that's typical. You know, she's being protective.
Yeah, and she said that she likes to come visit me, but I don't ever remember her visiting me. But maybe she's visiting me right now. I don't know. She's just enjoying herself, looking at her grandson, seeing what's going on. I'm talking on the radio, probably a big smile on her face, and she's probably doing the whole, you know, the whole finger thing where she's wiping her finger like, how dare you say the F word? I don't want you to hear that F word from you, mister. Anyway. You know,
yeah.
When paranormal investigators came out to my house, many of them, you know, they would set up like infrared cameras and listening devices, and they had all the gadgets and gizmo, all the digital recorders, and some even set up like kids' toys that would light up if they were touched. I've seen those toys light up as if, you know, answering questions and stuff. And it's all in an attempt to communicate with the dead, just like a Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree? The infrared cameras, the toy. So the stigmatism that Ouija boards have as being evil just is something that really that Hollywood has kind of portrayed.
Absolutely.
People give misinformation. They don't quite understand what it is, and so they think it's of the devil type of shit, stuff like that. But it really isn't. I mean, I can have the same positive communication or the same negative communication if I was just sitting here asking questions of whatever's around me, right?
Right, absolutely. I mean, you can talk to something with nothing. I mean, if you sit and talk to spirit, they're going to hear you. You know, if you're opening yourself up and say, I'm, you know, reaching out to my friend Fred who died in 1997. Fred, can you hear me? Fred hears you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need any kind of, you know, people use the Ouija board basically as a communication device. You don't need it.
Yeah. So what are the risks that people take whenever they play with like the Ouija board or if they're, you know, using a phone app or whatever to use any kind of communication device or form in order to talk with the dead? What are those risks that people are going to take if they start doing that?
Like I said, you are calling everything in time, everything in existence that ever existed on this plane or anywhere else. There are things that are thousands of years old that hear you. And, you know, and if they like your energy, they're going, oh, he's tasty. You know,
right,
I want to come get a bite of him. You know, I want to see what he tastes like. You know, I want to get a lick of his energy. I want to scare him. I want his adrenaline. I like how he feels.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're not careful and you, it would be like walking into a biker bar when you're not a biker. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk in the door and you're like, hi, you know, I'm here. Do to me whatever you want. You know, I'm not armed. You know, I'm just this guy. I don't have my cell phone. I'm all alone. You know, you're setting yourself up to become a victim if you're not careful. If you don't have some kind of knowledge of what you're dealing with, you know, spirits, like you said, they're not stupid. Entities aren't stupid. You know, demons aren't stupid. You know, they're very highly intelligent. They've been around a lot longer than we have.
Right. And I think
the
human spirits probably retain their same knowledge, I would guess, right? So if I was, you know, Einstein on Earth, I'm probably going to be a pretty smart Einstein in spirit. But if I never had
person.
Yeah, but if I've never had any kind of education, then I'm probably going to be that same in the other side too, right?
Right. You are still you. If you were an asshole when you were here, you're going to be an asshole over there. You don't change. You don't get this great epiphany that, oh, you know, I'm going to be a super good person now. You're still you. You know, you choose to change because you choose to. If you go to the other side and decide I'm still going to be this jerk of an asshole that I always was, you're going to stay that way. You have to be willing to change. That's why some spirits that get in people's houses are nasty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they get the impression that that house is still theirs. It's still their property, and they're going to do everything in their power to get rid of you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were a nasty, awful person in life, and they're still nasty, and you're in their house, and they don't want you there.
Yeah.
You know,
how
people don't realize that, you know, you don't become this wonderful person because you die. We don't become angels. Angels are a completely different entity than human
right.
beings. We don't become
exactly.
angels.
Right. How does one protect themselves then? Because I know how I protect myself. I mean, I hear a lot of different groups and people from groups say different things, like they surround themselves in light and stuff like that. I can't relate to that. It's hard for me to relate to that. How I protect myself, what I've done is I just pray. So, you know, I pray in order mm-hmm. to protect myself. I don't go out investigating locations because I'm not a paranormal investigator. But when I feel as though something's not right, I pray. If I feel as though I'm
mm-hmm.
feeling sick, I pray. You know, if a friend tells me that there's something going on in their life and they need some help, you know, I pray for them. Sometimes I'm not sure if God
mm-hmm.
hears me, but I know that's what I connect with. So that's what I do. So what are some things that people can do to protect themselves if they're investigating a location or using some sort of a communication device like a Ouija board? Or, you know, I mean, if you're opening something up, then you better darn well know how to close it, right? So how do people protect themselves?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, do research. You know, don't decide you're some kind of paranormal expert because you watched a television show. You're not.
Right.
You need to do research. Paranormal investigators, the paranormal is a science, just like any other science. A lot of it is based on scientific proof using equipment to verify the dead, the existence of the dead. They're trying to document it scientifically. Do your research, you know, do some reading, look at the equipment, see what it does, what it doesn't do. What does EMF mean? What does an EVP mean? What does all this stuff mean? Know what you're doing before you do it. That's a good way to protect yourself. You know, knowledge is power. Also, you know, if you believe in God, use that. Put a cross around your neck. Something tangible that you can hold on to if you get afraid. Something you can say, you're scaring me, get away. In the name of God, get away from me. Use what your power is. You know, we are powerful beings. There are rules that they have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
The dead have to follow certain rules. If you tell them, you have to leave me alone and you mean it, they have to leave you alone. They cannot touch you. If you don't give them permission to touch you, they cannot touch you. Now, this is just spirit. There are things out there that don't have the rules that, you know, our spirits have. There are things from other universes that don't give a crap what we say.
Right.
And they'll appear anyway, you know, if they're out to frighten us, they're going to do everything in their power to make sure that we're scared. They will, you know, they will dig into our nightmares for the most terrifying thing that's in our head, and that's what they'll show us because they want us to be afraid because they get off on it. They get off on our fear. And the key is to not be afraid, and I know that's really hard because, you know, you've got this thing standing at the end of your bed, you know, pulling your blankets off your feet, scratching you. Of course you're going to be afraid because you can't, you don't understand it. A person walked into your house, you know, it became a completely different thing. I mean, you'd feel you had a little bit more power. I wouldn't, but, you know, I think I have more power over the spiritual than I do over physical beings. But
most
men would say, I can kick this guy's ass. He's in my house kicking his ass. You know, he's leaving. Mm-hmm. But it's harder when you can't see it. And people's imaginations are one of their worst enemies when it comes to the paranormal. You open yourself up, you know, fear is what they're after. You know, it's like a drug to them. They want it. They like our fear. They like our adrenaline. They like the pheromones that we kick off when we're scared.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, they're going to go for it. The best way to protect yourself is to say, you know, I'm not afraid of you.
Mm-hmm.
It takes all their power away if you're not afraid.
I connect with God. That's where I believe my power of, if I need something, then I pray. So, but I think that there's something more to that humanity has, and I believe that our belief is power. If I believe
Absolutely.
That God is going to protect me, then it's as if it just happens. And this is hard to say out loud. I've thought about it in my mind, but there's this line from a movie, and I'm going to probably watch this movie here as soon as I'm done, called Serenity. There's a line in the movie that says, you know, the guy's dying on the ground, and the person who's there helping him is a non-believer in anything, right? He doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in anything. But the preacher who's dying on the ground says, I don't care what you believe in, just believe. And I think that's what the power is. So if you have, mm-hmm. if you believe, you know, Christianity like I do, you have a cross on. If you believe you're a Wiccan, I don't know, whatever they use, that's what your belief is. I think power is in that belief. That's what's hard for me to say, because I grew up very religious, and it's hard for me to talk about Wiccan and witches and, you know, whatever else is out there. I'm so ignorant. I don't even know what else is out there. But, you know, whatever other spiritual belief that's out there that's not from God, you know, then I think there's still power in that. So I don't know. Anyway, we are at the end of the show, but I've got to ask you some questions. Got a few
sure.
questions. These are just this could just be yes or no answers. It doesn't matter. But I ask a lot of my
okay.
guestees, and I'm very interested in knowing what your take is on some of this. So, do you believe that aliens have visited our planet?
Absolutely.
Have you seen an alien or seen a UFO?
I have. I've seen UFOs. Yes.
Yeah. So many people have said they see UFOs. So many of my guests, so many people that I ask these to, so many of them have seen UFOs. That's crazy to me. UFOs and little aliens scare me more than the ghosts.
If you think about it, all UFO stands for is unidentified flying object.
Right.
You don't know what it is. Doesn't necessarily mean it's alien. Just means you don't know what it is.
Right, right. Well, the question really was, do you believe aliens have visited the planet?
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Yeah.
I believe
they've
been visiting us since the very beginning. Yeah.
I'm actually starting to believe or come to the conclusion that maybe aliens have seeded this planet.
There's a theory out there, yes.
Yeah. I'm starting to believe that. It's just there's too many strange things about the Earth that don't make sense, like if in the whole scope of the universe and mathematically. Why is our moon the way it is, and why is it always facing us? It's always the same size, side facing us. It's of a size that it captures most of the asteroids that come, you know, close to the Earth. They actually get caught into the
right.
moon before they. It's just crazy stuff. It's
gravitational
almost as
pull,
if,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, the next question. Do you believe that Bigfoot lives in Indiana, or you're from Michigan, so I'll say Indiana or Michigan?
Yes, absolutely.
Have you ever seen it? Have you seen a Bigfoot?
No, no.
Yeah, me neither. I want to one day.
But I was watching a TV show the other day, and this guy made a really good point. There's 90% of species on this earth we have never seen that we don't know about. We've only
right.
discovered 10% of the beings on this planet. And because we haven't seen it, it's scary to us. I mean, there's stuff
mm-hmm.
they've been pulling out of the ocean. I'm like, what the hell is that? And, you know, it's
yeah, there's
we
some nightmarish fish that's living at the bottom of the ocean. Those things
are
like nightmarish. They're scary as crap.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in Bigfoot. You know, I had Absolutely. MK Davis on the show, and he's a very popular, I don't want to say famous so much, but he's very popular in the Bigfoot field. He's done a lot of research on the Patterson film and film in general with regard to Bigfoot and Sasquatch. And you know what he told me? You may not know this. I don't know if you do or not, but this was new news to me. There is a difference between a Sasquatch and a Bigfoot. A Sasquatch, 100% Sasquatch, but a Bigfoot is a human Sasquatch hybrid. I have never heard that theory before, but that's what he said. And I'm like, that is kind of interesting. That's really cool because Sasquatches are the 10-foot tall fuckers, the really big ones, real big and bulky. And the Bigfoot ones are smaller. They're the 7-8 foot tall ones, and they're not as bulky because they have human DNA in them. That's creepy, creepy weird.
Interesting. I have a theory for you. I did a show the other day. We were talking about aliens, and I did a show on aliens, and I had someone call in that said, "Aliens, Bigfoots are aliens. That's why we can never catch them. So they get on their ship and go home."
Oh yeah, like Chewbacca.
Yeah, they just come down, look around, get back on their ship and leave. That's why we never find any evidence of them because they don't stay.
So the thing is, we've got evidence.
Bigfoot
is
an alien.
Yeah, but
still, I mean, it's scant for a 10-foot animal. I mean, grizzly bears of that size. We see them. You know, we physically have them on film. Why can't we catch a Bigfoot on film?
Right. Well, we have. We have. Just not as much as the grizzly bears. Who killed JFK?
Who killed JFK? Lee Harvey Oswald killed him.
Oh, so you don't think there's a conspiracy?
No.
I am really into the JFK assassination. I've done so much. I've seen so much. I've read so many books. There was a time in my life that's all I did was immerse myself in JFK assassination. I'm pretty convinced that the FBI killed him, and Lee Harvey Oswald was just a patsy, like he said. But it's one of those
things. Stephen King wrote a book about. Did you read the Stephen King book about the JFK assassination?
I don't think so. I didn't know he had one out.
I can't remember the name of it, but if you look it up, it's about the JFK assassination. He said it was a time traveler went back and killed him.
Oh, really? Well, that's a new one to me, too. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. It could be. I'm open to everything. Do you think that we actually
definitely believe in time travel.
Yeah. Do you think we actually landed men on the moon?
No.
Oh, so there's the conspiracy part. Yeah, I don't think we did either. I don't believe that.
I think it was staged.
Yeah, it was. We tried our hardest. This was the Cold War. We had to show. We were in Vietnam. It was the Vietnam War was going on. America's morale was through the toilet. And we realized at some point, it's like, fellas, this ain't going to happen. We just ain't going to get there, no matter with our technology right now. And so they started to change from actually trying to send them to the moon. They started spending the money on acting as if they were on the moon. You know, they had the stage and everything. And I think all the astronauts that said that they landed on the moon, I think that they were American heroes anyway. They're keeping a tremendous secret, you know, and they're all taking it to their graves. It was almost as if, you know, we're just going to bite the bullet. We're going to help America get better. So that's my theory.
Yep,
so, last question. Will you haunt someone after you die?
No.
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 You don't have a haunt list?
No. I wouldn't want to frighten anybody. Not to say I won't talk to them in their dreams, but I won't come and go and try to scare them, no.
I used to have a shit list, and people were on my shit list. I no longer have
you're
a shit
gonna
list.
Haunt?
Now I have a haunt list because I think that's going to be more gratifying to me. So people who've crossed me that are just evil, nasty people, I'll be shaking your bed at the end, you know, at night time when you're trying to get it on with one of your lovers, I'll be back here going, chugga, 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 chugga. scaring the shit out of everybody. Oh, dear Lord. I
pulled the sheets off them, right?
Right, right. So, anyway, thank you so much, Rebecca, for being on tonight. I love talking to you because you always say interesting things for me to really ponder and think about. And you've we've talked about quite a lot of things, actually, over the past few months, you know, that we knew each other. So, thank you. So,
you are welcome.
That's good. Yep. And next time you want some very great orator of paranormal shit that happened at my house, then I'm your guy. Get me back on your radio.
When your book comes out, I'm going to have you back on to talk about it.
Yes. I got to start promoting my book, Awaken the Feeders.
We will promote the shit out of you. We will.
Well, we're going to do that. I appreciate it. So that's the end of the show tonight, everybody. Thank you so much for Rebecca for coming on and my sponsors, Clear Choice Restoration. But a lot of hail tonight, so give us a call, Clear Choice Restoration. Also, I've been promoting the Hannah House and also promoting the Rhodes Hotel, which are two fascinating, fun locations. So, everybody, thank you so much. We are gone. Bye, Felicia. Off the Air Radio Show is now off the air. Thank you to my guests. Thank you to my sponsors. Thank you to my listeners. And to my two beautiful children, Carter and Reagan, if you're ever lost, I will never stop looking for you.